following is an oral history interview with Domingo Hernandez and Francisca T. Hernandez by Rose Hernandez for the South Texas Hispanic Farm Labor Community's Oral History Project. The interview took place on November 29, 2017, in Driscoll, Texas.
My name is Rose Hernandez. I'll be conducting an oral history project on Hispanic farm labor communities in South Texas. I'm speaking to Domingo Hernandez and Francisca T. Hernandez. Okay, Ms. Hernandez, what can you tell? Where were you born at?
Petronila, Texas.
In a home?
In a home.
And Mr. Hernandez, where were you born at?
I was born in Driscoll Farm, Driscoll, Texas.
Okay. What can you tell me about your history, your family history?
My daddy came from Cerrado, Nuevo León. He was 5 years old. That's what I understood. My grandma brought him over here. And he was
growing up here.
Here, and then they moved to Crystal City, and there, I guess that's when they meet my mom. My mom lives in, it was from Pilsen, Texas, and my grandfather or my mom, he was from Cerrado. No, I don't know where he was coming from. And my grandmother, my mom's mom, he was from Pioso. And that's, I guess, well, that's where they meet. And they were there, and then we moved to, I was not even born, and we moved back to Petronila. And that's where he worked with Terry McNair, and I was born on Carbet farm.
Okay. Where were your what's your family from?
They're from Mexico and close to Bustamante, Tamaulipas. Ooh. And they came through Laredo, Texas. Romaldo Hernandez and Severina Hernandez, but they came different times. Romaldo came from Bustamante, Tamaulipas to Laredo, Texas. And they said they didn't settle here for a while. They settled here for a while, and then they went to work for a farm over there close to Bay City, somewhere over there. With the owner was the place over there was W.B. Ray. He was the owner of that farm. And then they came back to Driscoll and worked in the Driscoll Ranch. The Driscoll Ranch leased some property to Mr. Paul Moore, that lived here in Driscoll. And then that he had a farm there, and I was born there. In that house, it had two rooms at the bottom and one at the top. And it had some windows and all that. And I was born, they called a doctor, and the doctor came, and he gave me birth, and then I was born there. And I came to... I was my first experience in. I started here in Driscoll. I was working here in Driscoll with my dad when I was only to work in 9 years old. When I started working labor work, we used to go pick out whether close to Haskell and Groey and all those places. And the one experience that I didn't like much was when we went to New Mexico, because it was too cold and very dusty, and the water was real bad. You could not take a shower because it wasn't even boiled up. You had to boil the water because it was too bad. It was close to, they call it the city, I remember it's called Del City, Texas, about 80 miles northeast of El Paso. And we went to pick up tomatoes and all that, and then we came back to Driscoll, and we still working here in the fields. And I worked there in the fields through. I was about 13 or 14 years, and then I started working here in Driscoll on a grocery store by the name of Bonest Grocery Store.
How did your family start working in the fields, picking cotton?
Picking cotton. Well, like I say, when I moved here to Driscoll, I was 6 years old. And but my daddy works in the farm, so Carvey Farm and Terry McNair. And my brothers, they work there too, in the fields, picking cotton and chopping cotton and take care of the animals because he had animals. And when I was like 6 years old when I come over here, and I started working, I think, when I was maybe 12 or 13, I went to the working with my dad in the field.
So he took you out of school because he needed you to work?
Yeah, when we went to the West, we live over there. We start here picking cotton over here and chopping cotton and all that. And then we leave in September. And the school at that time, the school starts in September. So we didn't have enough school. And then we went and to picking cotton over there at the we went all the way to Arkansas, and we would work in Plainview and Lubbock, Seymour, and all those places.
Red Springs
and Mundy, and
So from September to what was the end of the season that y'all would go around picking cotton?
December.
From September to December, you were traveling all the way?
All the way, and then come back because the weather was starting to get bad over there. You know?
So what was the furthest state that you went to?
The further? Yeah, Arkansas. Yeah.
And how was your community, a group of people like?
Well, we were relatives, you know, because my daddy... when we were in Petronila, and he came, you know, he passed all his sisters and brothers over here to Petronila. So from here, we leave to picking cotton, and then we moved to Driscoll, and he would do the same things with other people, you know. But we all, like family, we were always together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was your father the boss as well?
Yeah, he was. He was a supervisor on the farm, and Mr. Bayless was a higher up man that ran the place. He ran it for Mr. Robert B. Ray in those days.
So you didn't travel?
Oh yes, I did. I went. We went to, like I was saying, to New Mexico, to Dale City, Texas. And then I went to Oklahoma. I can't remember the name of Oklahoma. I never remember the name, but it was there. We used to go out and eat over there in the little town. One time we took us to the little town and we ate. That was my first time I ate fried chicken.
So what was your community like, your group of people that would travel?
Well, all we were from... my cousins were the ones that were taking us, my cousins and some people from the valley.
And where was your dad at?
He was with us. And then we worked over there. And then we came back. And that was the only time I went, because later on I stayed with my mother here. And they left, my sisters and brothers left to work with them. But I remember my oldest brothers, they were both of them were in World War II, and I didn't know when they left in 1938, and one was stationed here in Fort Bullitt, Texas, and then the other one left to they call him in 1942, with MacArthur. He went with MacArthur to get Philippines back, and that's when they got him. We went over there, and I didn't remember them till they came back from the service.
So your sisters were the ones that really worked out in the cotton fields?
My sister was the one that really worked on the field more than I did. Because, and I don't know, when I grew up 14 years old, I started working with Bond's store here in Driscoll part-time. Then I went to school and I worked part-time there.
So what was your first impressions working in the cotton field?
My first impression? Well, because I didn't like to work in the fields. I never did. The only thing I like to do is with hoe, with it, whenever they were hoeing. That's what I didn't like, but I didn't like to work on it because we went over there to know it was too cold, and I didn't like cold weather.
What was your impression working in the fields?
Well, I hated to work in the picking cotton, but I love to chop and cotton, you know, when, with the hoe, you know.
Yeah, would chop the cotton.
And yeah, getting the weeds out and all that.
You didn't like picking it?
No, because, you know, we used to, when that time we used to pick up the cotton, get the cotton out of the little...
Shell?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the way you call it, shell or whatever. And all our hands were...
They were pricky.
Yes. And then a few years later... That's when they started, you know, pull the whole thing of the cotton. It was okay, but the sun was so hot, and we worked from 7 to 7, so it was
some long hours. And you said so it was more of your families, each side of y'all's families that were working with y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any friends? Other people that were not related to you?
There were some friends from here, the Abraham Rodriguez and Vicente Rodriguez, and and we used to stop over there close to Temple to pick up some people in there too. I think their last name were Ramones. And we all go to West Texas. Yeah. And we told them that was our vacations or something.
Your vacation.
We saw the hills and they said, ooh.
Yeah, we're excited about what you saw.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your most memorable experience?
In my labor?
Mm-hmm. Working in cotton fields.
Good or bad?
Well, either one.
Well, I was going to say like I did. I didn't like to go because it was too cold. And we didn't have a very good place to live in. You have to take a bath. You have to warm your own water. And you sit in the top. And you have to sleep on the floor, either inside or outside. And sometimes when you went early to West Texas, there were still mosquitoes, and then the mosquito gets you at night time, and in daytime there was no. I didn't like it at all.
I think it's the same thing, you know. When we were over there, we had a nice homes, you know, from the.
So your homes were nicer.
Yeah.
So they provided shelter for you.
Shelter, yeah, for us and with the people that we worked, you know, in the ranch. You know,
they treated y'all well?
They treat us better over there than over here.
Well, how did they treat you here?
Because one time, you know, my dad had an argument with one of the men, the owner of the
farms.
And because he took most ladies, you know, women. And
your dad took more women to work?
Yeah, than men. And the man came and he told my dad, Lupe, that was my daddy's name, Lupe, that you don't have no men over there in Driscoll, that you only bring women. And my daddy said, well, if you don't like it, we can go. But these women are workers. They probably work better than the men. So my daddy called us. We were already in the field. He called us back and we came home. And then he looked for another
farm to work at.
To work at.
Did what was your relationship with the owners of these properties?
The property from the field.
Every place you went to, every area that you would go to, how was the owners? How would they treat you?
I didn't
you?
Have no more contact with the people that owned the place. They just gave us the house. He said, "You're going to stay in this house." And some of the houses, which when we finished one place, we went to another place, and some of the houses were better. But we have houses. We didn't live out, but always with the house, we have houses to live in. But sometimes you had to bring the water inside, or sometimes they got water inside. They had pumps outside to get the water out from the pump. You had to pump it to get the water out and all that. And one thing I didn't like, because I had to go and get it, the water from the outside. And some of the houses have water inside, some of them.
And how was your family when y'all would travel? How would the owners treat y'all?
Oh, fine. Especially here from Ray Moody. Oh, they were great. And Clyde Moody. And then in Taft, we worked with their brother over there. What was his name? Shirley, I think. Shirley Moody. And my daddy didn't have problems with the people when we went to the West. Only with this man over here. You know, I forgot the name of, you know. And
so you never experienced any type of racism when you would go to other communities?
No, only when we go to, like in Seymour. I remember that they took us to the movies, and they didn't want let us in to the movies because we were Mexicans. And this boy, this young man, he came from the service, and he was a Spanish, and he got mad with those people that let us in. But anyway that we, the all the white people on the one side and the Mexicans on the other side. And that happened to the restaurants. Yeah. And they were the same thing. But now, you know, all those years that we went over there, pretty soon, you know, they're starting to come along, you know.
Let you sit wherever.
Yeah.
What was your experience with, you know, you said you were, it felt like you were on a vacation. So what did you like about it, seeing other parts? And
oh, yes. Especially before we passed Austin. We start saying, oh, that's the capital of Texas and all that, you know. And, you know, so we enjoy the, you know, seeing places. Yeah.
So during your off time from working those long hours, what would you do?
Well, what I do? Well, I try to go hunting rabbits. I believe they had a place. Most of the time they had wood area, so we can go hunting and we lake fishing and all that. Mm-hmm. And we went and cook outside. Now that's what I like, enjoy to be outside cooking and eating rabbits and all that.
Mm-hmm. And you?
Us too. We used to go and take a bath in the river and jump up the vines and all that. So it was fun when we were not working in the fields. Especially when it was raining, you know. But when we hate it because if it rained and week, then we had to work on Saturday and Sunday. And that's why we hate it.
So y'all would work Monday through Friday, but if it rained, then y'all would work all week.
All week.
The weekend.
The weekends.
So when did y'all stop working in the cotton fields?
You were
9 when you stopped working in the cotton field?
No, I was about 13 years old when I stopped working in the fields. And then I got a job here with Hank Bond, and it was the first time to get my Social Security number.
Oh, okay. First time getting a Social Security number.
And me, because I grew up and get married, and I went and worked, show my kids how to work in the fields.
I recall you working when I was a little girl in the field, cotton fields, mm-hmm. And then even my siblings going along with you, and I think you worked in there till at least your early 80s.
Early 80s.
Yeah. I remember still working shopping the cotton and field, and cotton. They also, then y'all stopped because the machine, it came up with the machines now that were developed. And
I used to say, oh my God, when are they going to invent something that pick up the cottons? And sure enough, years come, and there they are.
Oh, well, then that's good. But I remember you coming home all tired and sweaty, and the boys coming, my brothers coming home tired as well, working in the cotton fields. What do you think this says about, where would we be without migrant workers?
Where would they be?
Where would we be without migrant workers? To this day, they still have some migrant workers that are still out there picking watermelons and picking.
Well, they to do. They still do, but we don't have people working now in labor, not from the United States, because they don't. They, we work more in the farm, but you got people. Most of the people that work here from labor or driving tractors, they've come from Mexico. Now, you ain't got very many people that work in the fields like we did, because most of them work in the go most
other jobs,
all mm-hmm. of the jobs.
Yeah,
and that's what they need. People to work here.
Farmers
to work in the fields. That's what the farmers need here in the area.
Mm-hmm. So overall, what would you like them to know about your heritage, your culture, your experiences working in the cotton field?
Well, come back with that.
How would you like people to know? Listening to you, what would you, how'd you view your history of working in the cotton fields?
Well, it's good to know how to work in the fields. For everybody should know how to work in the fields and be in the ranches and all, because it's a good experience for you to grow up or to know what's going on. Because people should know, this young generation doesn't know nothing about that. And they should know nowadays, but that's past history. I don't think it will ever happen again.
No, that's the same thing with me. You know, I don't think that they can work in the fields. I don't think they would count the heat and all that. They used to be inside, and you know, so I don't think
working in the cotton fields, I believe it's made you who you are today as determined individuals who know what hard labor is and how to work, but to persevere and your goals, because I've seen y'all come a long way, and hardworking people are more determined to succeed in life, I feel, yeah. After working in hard labor. You know what's out there, and you know what's good, mm-hmm. and you have a strong will.
Yeah.
To survive.
Well, it's better like that, because we know that it's better to have education, you should have education, than to be raised in the fields. Mm-hmm. Because I had to have my education and when I was service here and there, and then here, because I didn't have the money to, my dad didn't have the money to send me to school or whatever. So I had to.
But working in the fields made you who you are.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to thank y'all for telling me your stories. Is there anything more, with any other stories you can think of that would be good for the community to know about the migrant workers working in the cotton field?
Well, I believe they should know, because in those days, they didn't pay you much money to work in the cotton fields. And the only people that work in the cotton field, they pay them 75 cents and 100 pounds. 75 cents, 100 pounds. That was when Daddy got here. People in the work here in the early agriculture days, they didn't pay about 75 cents, 100 pounds. For every 100 pounds, you pay 75 cents. Those were when they started working. That's something that.
Yeah, cause when I started working, I was probably about 12 or 13, and they pay only $5 a day.
In hoeing?
Yeah, not of hours, but a day. So that was hard, but well, I can understand that the prices were, you can buy, with $5 you could buy a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, it changed.
Everything changed. So it was hard. It was a hard life. But now we're doing okay. Thank God.
Okay, I'd like to thank y'all both again for participating in this oral history. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.